Okay, we on Thursday we learned the sugi of Kala Mishana, Ubacha Vishinava. And the way we came out of the sugya, at least the sugi here in Daf Chaf, both Rav Yechanan and Reish Lakish, Rav and Shmuel, all agree that there's a concept of Kol HaMishana Uba'achar V'Shinah Ba'Pater. They all agree to the aside. They argue if the amount of people that Avdi Inshi, Zemachi Glimo, Umisbechi, the number of times that Kelim are put in the street and left there, that renders it normal, or if it remains Kol HaMishana, or remains a Shinoi. That's the disagreement. Well, Yitzhak, you would have a case that everyone agrees is a Shinoi, so let's mind the Palig that we would say Kol HaMishana Ba'acha V'Shinah Ba'Pater. In the two cases we have in the Gemara, we have Ksus V'Kelim, which is the Machlaikis, and we have the case of Ravutza B'Malachas, Malachas B'Ravutza, which is the case of that the Gemara says Re'echa Reish Lakish both agree. But the underlying is side of Kol HaMishana, that it seems that everybody is masking to. This is what we learned last week. The Rush in Perek Gimel, Simin Yud Gimel, was it? The Yud Aleph? Yud Gimel, Simin Yud Gimel, came along, and the Rush said that when the Gemara discusses two behemoths that get into a fight and are mazik each other, and the Gemara names on for a Pashtus that. Then the Gemara names on for a Pashtus that a person has to pay. Each one has to pay the other. Behem of Reuven, Behem of Shimon get into a fight. So Reuven has to pay the damage to Shimon's Behemah. Shimon has to pay the damage to Reuven's Behemah. That's all talking, Dr. Rush, when they got into a fight simultaneously. The animals got angry at each other and they locked horns together and they got into a mukhama. So they're both chayiv. Each one's chayiv for what it was mazik the other. However, Zakhtar Rosh, if one animal started up with the other, if Reuven's shar started by being bayit in Shimon's shar, and then Shimon's shar got angry and it hit him back, Shimon is patel lagamri. Because of the rule of Kol HaMishana, Uba Acher V'Shinah Ba'Pater. Because here, the Shar of Reuven started the fight. The Shar of Reuven was the Mishana. He came first, and he was Mazik. And since he was Mazik, whatever happened later, as a result of that, the Mishana and Shar fought back, that Kol HaMishana, Uba Acher V'Shinah Ba'Pater is Pater. The state rush, and that part of the rush we have no problem with, we all understand. Then the rush says that there's a Madiyama Rava later on Daf Lamed Beis who holds that in the Gemara's case of Ravutza B'Mahaleches, who doesn't hold of Kol HaMishana. He says that if one animal is laying in the street, and another animal is walking down the street and it kicks the one that's Ravutza. Agamara said that you're Pater. Because Kol HaMishana, the one who's laying in the street, is Mishana. Ubacha Vishinaba. Now the other animal was Bayit in this Ravutza. Agamara says that everyone agrees you're Pater. Yena Gemara says, Amar Rava, that you have to pay. Because Nihi, it's taka true, you have rishus to step on me, if I'm Ravutza. You taka rishus to step on me when you walk down the street. But labute bi, mi yislacha rishusa. You have no rishus to kick me. So it seems, if you would learn that Gemara, it seems that Rava doesn't hold Kol HaMishana Uba'acha V'Shina Ba'Pata. It seems that Rava disagrees with Rav and Shmuel Rav Yechon Reish Lakish. And Rava does not hold of Kol HaMishana. So the Rosh says that it's, and we pass like Rava. So the Rosh says, no, he holds him to his side. Only when you have this taina that Islacha Rishusa Skuya La, you have right to step on me, but Lehuti be Islacha Rishusa, you have no right to hurt me. So the Rosh says that Rava agrees to the rule of Kalamishana. In that case, he has a taina. The Rosh proves it by bringing in another case. And this is where it gets complicated. The Rosh brings in a case of Adam. The case of Adam, the same exact story. As I told you, we once had such a shiva here in the yeshiva, where one person started up with the other. Starting up means, I've seen a lashon harash, if teasing is also starting up. But let's say, Reuven hit Shimon. And then Shimon hit Reuven back. And when Shimon hit Reuven back, he caused damage. He broke his glasses, was the case, so he caused the mehezik. So the Rosh says clearly that Shimon is potter. He says that Shimon is potter, and he compares it to the case of the behemoth. So Reuven hit first, Shimon hit him back. The Rosh says there's a p'tor because of, and he compares it to the case of the behemoth. It sounds like it's because of Kol HaMishana Uba Acher V'Shinava. But then, if you keep on reading the Rosh on this exact case seems to give a different reason. He says, why are you allowed to hit someone back if he hits you? If someone hits you, why are you allowed to hit him back? He says, because Hatzala Shari, you're allowed to save yourself. If you don't hit him back, he'll keep on hitting you. So the Rosh gets into a reason because Hatzalah is mutter, you're allowed to save yourself. And even goes so far as to say that if you could do the Hatzalah with less hezek, you're not allowed to do it with more hezek. If someone's hitting you, you want him to stop. If you get him to stop by hurting him less, you have no reason to hurt him more. So suddenly, in the middle of the paragraph, the Rosh seems to switch from Kala Mishana to the reason of Hatzalah. And that's what's difficult to figure out what the Rosh means. Why, if someone hits someone, he's allowed to hit him back? He's potter if he hits him back. Is it because of Kala Mishana? Because I'm upset, if someone's upset, someone hit him, he's allowed to hit him back. I'm sure Miririsai, the place can use a lashing because Miriris, because I'm upset, I'm angry. Or is it because it's a Hatzalah? It's great nafkamina. Someone hits him, and he says, I'm stopping. Someone comes over you, he knows the Rosh. So he knows if he hits you, you're allowed to hit him back. So he hits you, and he says, that's it, I'm not hitting you again. There's no heter of Hatzalah. So you're allowed to hit him back. And you ask if you will hit him back, ask if you're allowed to hit him back. If the reason of Hatzalah, you're not allowed to hit him back. If the reason is Kol HaMishana, Ubacha B'Shinaba, then you are. So here it requires a lot of Harvanya to understand what it is the Rosh means. I'd like you to take a look at the Lush, and I'll just point out, I can go through the whole Rosh, but the point where the Rosh is difficult is, it's again Paragimel, Simon Yud Gimel. I made a dot on the side of my Gemara. It's the sixth line. The sixth line where it says Dafilu ba'adam. That's where he starts talking. I don't know about you, except for this, the sixth line. See, he's a miller talking about an animal. He's a miller talking, and he says, and this goes even like Rava. Even like Rava, who doesn't hold a Kol HaMishana, is Maida here. And he says, Dafilu ba'adam islay rishus l'sheini. It says beferish. Even by Adam, you have rishus, the second person has rishus to hit him back. V'chein shtei anashim. Two people here hurt each other, and they both have to pay. Nami ma'iri sheschilu ka'achas. Ayachas man. If one person started, the second one is potter. Now, that line bothers me. Afagav d'loy shayech ba'adam kol ha'mishana ba'acha b'shina ba'potter. So, shayech by a person to say that if someone hits you, you have a heter of shina ba'. Still mutter. It's still mutter. The ha'afilo al iskeman and amrinu la'el meya padni bepanda demar lemachye. The Gemara of Zayin and Bay says that if someone's stealing your money, you're allowed to beat him up to get him to stop. Some of the case there, someone's drawing water out of your well, and you're allowed to take you're allowed to hit him until he stops. So if he's stealing your money, you're allowed to hit him. So if he's hurting you personally, it's a chalad to hit him. But that's hatzala. That's a case of saving yourself. Go on. Chalad
Mashan doesn't fly by all of them because other than with loyalty. You can't just go around hitting him. So Chalad Mashan is not going to work.
Right.
Why?
So it's a mutter al tatzal. So then what does it mean when he says de'afilu ba'adam?
Because you don't have a regular call mashan.
But he's answering Rava. See, you go two lines before that. Afilu the Rava. Even Rava who says that I don't hold up call mashan. Lo mechayel mishum nidis lachushusa skuya lo lebiti bilas lachushusa. Aval hacha yesh resusa sheini lach bal berishin kir jes lebay. So there, but what's he saying? That Rava will be ma'ida call mashan by behemus. I could prove to you even by that Rav will be ma'ida that filu ba'adam is like Rishus L'Sheini because it applies even by Adam. Now if Adam has a separate cheshbon, how's it compared to the behemoth? If the cheshbon of Adam is not called a mishana, what's the comparison? The Seder Haloshin is a little bit of a problem.
And to apply that follow to the behemoth.
That you won't say Kol Mishana, you just say Atzalah.
If you come to the bottom line, that you do something to protect yourself.
I don't know. Behemoth is only allowed to hit back. Atzalah Satzmai.
That's
what
you're going to say. Except on the animal, that's a new way. But to kick it back, you can't.
Yeah, so an animal hits back, it's only allowed to hit back as much as it needs. It's a little hard to chive an animal, to say, to chive the bottom of the animal. To let the animal hit back la hatzala and not water hatzala.
You see, with Rama, he's doing everything with a chesh. Rama's whole excuse by the state forest is that you can walk on it, but you can't kick it. But in that chesh, you're walking down the street, so you step on it. You don't kick it extra when you're defending it. Adam is only going to have a situation when he's in a fight. As opposed to an animal, he's just walking down the street. It's a different story.
If an animal is also in a fight, he starts off, he's talking about animal in a fight. One animal started up with him.
Just
so an animal can keep on. Once one animal hits him, the other animal keeps on going as long as he wants. So an animal is part of no matter what. So after Rasha, Pilu L'Rava, also Kalam Mishana applies to an animal. And I'll prove it to you, Dr. L'Ba'adam, you're allowed to hit back. So certainly a behemoth is allowed to hit back. That doesn't prove that Kalam Mishana. That proves that Atzala is Mutter. And from that, you're stretching it to say that from Adam being mutter l'atzala, that's the proof that by behemoth is a heter of kolam mishana. There are two tamim. But if both reasons, then later when he says that Adam is only allowed to do the amount that's needed for atzala, that should be true. If both reasons apply, then more should be mutter. By Adam only atzala applies. So by behavior you're going to give the reason of Atzala.
It'll be Atzala
exactly to behavior,
which
would
be different from the
regular Atzala. So behavior, it's still hard. You can mechayiv that the behavior has to start, and behavior doesn't know what it's doing. The says the bailam of the behavior have to let the animal hit back la Atzala say, and not the animal hit back when they may rirusa. You'd be mechayiv the bailam on this. The amount that's needed for Atzala. The amount beyond that. I don't know. It just doesn't sound like it. So the Chazainish does have a pshat in the Rosh, a very nice pshat. But before that, I want to be magdim. That the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tufbeis Sif Aleph in the Ramah. The Ramah says Yeshaimrim this rush that if a shar hits a shar, the other shar hits him back. Yipatim. He brings up a shem Yeshaimrim, which means he understands. The Ramah understands that the Shulchan Aruch is arguing. It's machlokes. So Rama is passing like this Rush. Shulchan Aruch, he also is not passing like the Rush. So both the Sma and the Shach say they don't understand the Rama. The Rama say that the Mechaber doesn't pass like the Shach. 1 minute. Taka by Yuske Shar, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring the Rush. The Mechaber, it seems, doesn't pass like the Rush. But look by Niskei Adam, in Tuf Chaf Aleph, where it talks about Niskei Adam, there, in Sif Yud Gimel, the Mechaber does bring the Rush. That if one person hits another person, the other person hits him back, that the one who hit back is Potter. So Zach the Sma and the Shach, the Rama made a mistake. The Rama thinks the Mechaber is arguing with the Rush. He says, Yeshayimrim, it's not true. Because by Adam, we see that the Shulchan Aruch does bring the Rosh's Psak. So Zok the Shach and Smav, I say, the Mechaber also passes like the Rosh. He brings it in Niskei Behen, Niskei Adam, who had dealing with Niskei Behen. So the Rama understood that it's a Machlaikis, and the Shach and Smav understood it the same. How would you answer the Rama? It's a Taina on the Rama. The Rama understands that the Shulchan Aruch passes that way only by Adam and not by Shar. How did the Rama understand the Rosh? What? Well, obviously, the Rama understood that it's only a Heter of Hatzalah by Adam. It's not a Din of Shinabai. It's not a Din of Mishana. So the Rama understood that they're two separate dinim. So the fact that Mechaber brings it by Adam, where there's a heter of Hatzalah, is no raya to Behemo, where there's no hechatimta. You can't talk about Hatzalah. On the other hand, the Sman Deshach apparently understood that they're totally zabizeh. The Sman Shach understood the heter of Behemo, the heter of Adam, is kula chada hetera, and that there is a heter of kolam mishana. And therefore, he says, if the Shulchan Aruch brings it by Adam, who adim by Shar? And for that, we need the explanation of Chazanish, which we'll see now. But it seems in the underlying confusion in Kavanas Harash that the Rama and the Shach and Smad seem to have a disagreement on it. The Rama understood that Adam is one heter, a heter of Hatzalah, and Shar is a separate heter, Kol Mishana. So the Rama himself passes like the Rosh in all Heter. But the Rama, when he read the Shulchan Aruch, he saw the Shulchan Aruch brings it by Adam. The Shulchan Aruch does not bring it by Shar. The Rama understood that the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rosh by the reason of Hatzalah, which is a simpler reason, and doesn't pass them like the Shulchan Aruch, like the Rosh in the case of Shar. So the Rama said, Yeshay, that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't hold the whole Heter. But the Sma and the Shach clearly hold that it is. That's all one. It's all one heter. It's all one heter. What's the challenge here that the Rosh mixes in the Shar with the Adam if they're two separate heterim? So the Chazanish comes along and he's Masber Kavanas HaRosh. A very Lamdish Eifin, which is consistent with the way we understood we explained the Chazanish last week. The Chazanish explains, what is the heter of Kol Mishana? What heter do I have? Someone's Mishana to me, I have a right to hurt him? What's the Hezber? So we said last week, the Chazanish and Rav Shimon both are Masber, that the Pasha of Nezikin is a Chiddush. It's a Chiddush in the Torah. That if you're Mazik, or your animal is Mazik, that you have to pay. That's limited to cases where it's a straight out Mazik. A Mazik walks down the street and is bayit, or he walks into someone's field and he eats. A straight out Mazik. Anytime the Nizik brought the Hezik upon himself, anytime the Nizik has a Yad, has a Chelik, in bringing the Hezik upon himself, there's no parasha of Teshlumei Nezikin. You don't have to pay. Kol HaMishana the Nizik is partly guilty. The Nizik caused this whole mess, caused the whole thing to happen. He brought the Hezek upon himself. The Torah of Kolam Ishana is that any time the Nizik brings the Hezek upon himself, the Mazik has a Ptor, even though the Mazik has no right. Has no right to hurt the other person. The Shah has no right. But there's no Tashlumin. There's no payment. Because there's no Chiddush of Tashlumin in Nizikin, except in a case where the Nizik is now partly guilty. If there's a partial guilt on part of the Nizik, there's no din of Tashlumin Nizikin. Mimela, the Rosh says as follows. First by Behemah. If one Behemah hits the other Behemah, the other Behemah gets so angry he hits him back, there's a Ptur. Kol HaMishana. The Nizik brought the Hezek upon himself. And therefore, there's a Ptur. What about Adam? What happens when Reuven hits Shimon? Is he bringing Hezek upon himself? Well, maybe Reuven could say, look, I hit him. I have to pay for what I hit him. But he has no right to hit me back. What right does he have to hit me back? He's not a behemoth, he's a human being. A human being is supposed to control himself. I hit him. I talk did an avla. I talk I have to pay for what I hit him. But he has no right to hit me back. No? You know what your Rebbe said in elementary school? If someone hits you, the behemoth will say, you have no right to hit him back. Not like the Rush. You don't learn the Rush in elementary school. Somebody in elementary school hits somebody back. His Rebbe says, and I'll hit him back. You should take out the Rush and show him. Huh? Says the Rush, you're allowed to hit him back. Rush is even l'chatzili, you're allowed to hit him back. Yesh v'shus l'sheini l'ach b'l'verishin. No? It says here. The second Rush is allowed to hit him back. So the Nizik brought around himself. But 1 minute, isn't the Rebbe right? What right do you have to hit him back? The Torah gives you Rishus. Where's the Torah give you Rishus to hit him back? Who says you'll let hit someone back if he hits you? Everyone agrees the second person, Lahatzalah says he's allowed to hit back. Hakomai, that's not a chiddush. If you hit someone, he's allowed to hit you back, Lahatzalah say. Zaktechazinish, everyone agrees, Lahatzalah, you're allowed to hit. Once everyone agrees you're allowed to hit him lahatzala, it comes out that when the Nizik hits someone, he has a yad in getting hit back. He's bringing Hezek on himself. He doesn't have a taina, you're a person, you have to control yourself. Because when he hits him, he's not there, the other person, to hit him back lahatzala. That's for sure. Once he's in such a situation where he is contributing to the fact that the Mazik now is allowed to hit him back. Now, it already blinds. Kol HaMishana Obacha Vishinaba. So now it comes out, he's sort of being mafker himself to get hit. He has a yad in himself getting and becoming a Nizik. Once he has a yad in himself becoming a Nizik, so now the din of Kol HaMishana already applies. Now even if the person hits him twice as much as he should, even if he hits him harder than he has to, once he has a yad and the other person hitting him, so now the whole parsha's tashlumin nizikin falls off. The whole parsha comes off because now it's kol hamishana ubaach v'shinava. Because now it's takatru. If Reuven hits Shimon, and Shimon says, "Hold on a minute," he calls his Rav. He says, "What am I allowed to do?" So tell mechatchila, you're allowed to hit him back just to save yourself. Taka true. But if he didn't call his Rav, he hit him. And instead of hitting him back just enough to save himself, he hit him back harder. But he hit him back more. But all in one fit of anger. It remains Kol HaMishana. Because the Nizik has a partial yad and bringing it on himself. Because since there's a heter of Hatzala, it comes out that he's bringing on himself Hezek. So now, even though the Hezek is more than that, whatever Hezek comes, he has a yad in bringing it on himself. And that's the Chazanish's side. The Kol HaMishana is, if you have a yad in bringing Hezek on yourself, then you have no Kriyas Mamon. So it's a two-step process. First, there has to be that the person has some sort of heter. He has a heter of atzal. Once he has a heter, now whatever is added to that, so that already blies kol mishani. You're bringing it on yourself.
Why in the case of Gemara when the person puts on someone else's property a bunch of pitchers, you only have rishus, and if, meaning he started the mazik, you only have rishus to walk to bezin to make the tain of a bezin. You don't have rishus to do your work in the field. Once I start, I can do it all on my side.
That's a good question, and I'll answer it after one more step. Okay. One more example, and then I'll answer, because what you're asking Tysus is.
Why can't you do it? Why
do
you let it in the
team?
You can't chain your animal to go around kicking people who are being mashana.
Me, you're my animal.
Well, you can't tell you train your animal to do this. You're saying you're right, let me talk it, but you can't do this.
L'chatchila, the animal can only hit back day hatzala. It can't hit back more, but it's impossible to train an animal to hit back day hatzala. No more, it's not possible. I don't know if he's allowed to. The Rush maybe holds you're not allowed to, but you're part of. You're allowed to hit back a day at Salah. That he brings from the Raya, from Meya Padna Lechaya, from that case, I'm hitting him 100 times. So he's allowed to hit him back for Atzala. More than that, it's Yitochan that he's not allowed to hit him back. Because the other person contributed to the Hezek that he received.
Doesn't Rush say you're high?
Yeah. On what?
You hit back more than enough to hit Atzala.
This is all an explanation of the Ramah. This is all an explanation of Shitas HaRamah. The Mechaber, this is all an explanation of the Shita of the Shach and the Smah that hold it's all one heter. It's not an explanation of the Mechaber. We don't know what the Mechaber meant, if it meant like the Smah or the Ramah. But this is all understanding that it's all one heter. If you understand like the Ramah, that it's two separate things, and Achinam. Chazinish Nemzon the Iker is like the Shach and Smah. He doesn't quote them by name, but he's never gone like that. That's all one big heter, which in the Lashon of the Rush, if it's actually Asher, if his Lashon is Diha, it's connecting them. He says the Lashon by Adam is not Shach Kol HaMashana. So I'll explain that. I'll explain the way Chazinish explains it. Just I wanted first, the Chazinish brings another example of Kol HaMashana by Adam. The Gemara later says that if two people are walking in the street, one is carrying a chavis, and the one behind is carrying a kaira, carrying a beam. And they're walking in the street, they're going the speed limit, the normal walking. And suddenly, the bala chavis stops. And the bala kaira breaks the chavis. The chavis hits the kaira doesn't break, the chavis breaks. The bala kaira keeps on walking, the person in front makes a short stop, the person in the back hits him. So the Gemara says, assuming it's not normal to make a stop like that in the middle of a highway, in the middle of the thoroughfare. So Balakaira is parting. Balakaira is parting. Now let me ask you, if the Balakaira will ask you a shayla, if the person in front of me makes a short stop, am I allowed to break his chavis? Let's do a shayla. Am I allowed to break it? So of course you're not allowed to break it. Because the person makes a short stop, not a heter for you to break his kalim. You're not allowed, the chachilah, to break the other person's kalim. Now, if Adam mu'ed la'olam, why is he chayiv? Why is he chayiv? He broke the other person's chadis. If you hold Adam mu'ed la'olam, okay, if you hold Adam as pater on ayin as gam, or say it's an ayin as gam. But if you hold Adam as mu'ed la'olam in all cases, how do you explain it? Why is it? If the Baal Kaira is not allowed to break the chadis, so why, when he makes a short stop, and you hit him, why are you pater? Why are you pater? Adam would loyal him just because he makes a short stop, you have no heter. So after Chazaynish, the answer is, Kol HaMishana, Upa Acha Vishina Ba Pater. The Nizik brought it upon himself. If somebody's driving down a highway and he hits the brakes, he makes a short stop and he gets hit from behind, he's bringing the damage on himself. Even though Adam would lie him, even though the other person has no right to hit him. But that's the din of Kol HaMishana. When the Nizik brings the Hezek on himself, he can't have a Tvias Vamin. So this, the Chazaynish brings as another example of Kol HaMishana, which I think we could all identify with, more than the case of the animals. Certainly, that's a case we understand. It makes sense to be Potter, even though Adam would lie him, you're not allowed to break it. We don't know any Ptor for Adam. This is the Ptor. Kol HaMishana, Bacha Mishina, but the Nizik brought the Hezek upon himself. Now, To this, the Chazon Ish seems to feel from his lashon very strongly, his ma'arech, that this is a yisayid, that by Adam you say kol hamishan. Now, the problem is that the Rosh has a lashon that by Adam you don't say kol hamishan. And even worse, there's a Taisvis, a Chavzayin Amid Beis, that talks about kol hamishan. Taisvis is going on a case where someone someone left something out in the street and someone stepped on it and he broke it. He's potter. So Frankie Gumar, am I potter? Someone left something in the street. Why are you potter? It's a teretz. It's a teretz. What? Huh? It's not a teretz. Gemara has a few terutzim. The terutz we pass can like is that a darkin shobah neyadim was by nimitrachim. Gemara says people don't look on the floor when they walk. They're not responsible to look where they're walking. That's the terutz. And the kasha. Gemara said, "Am I potter?" So Gemara in the Havamina thought darkin shobah neyadim was by nimitrachim. Frak the Gemara, why you potter? So Tosfos, what should we say? Which Torah? Kol HaMishana. Why don't we say Kol HaMishana? Bacha Mishinava. You left your car in the middle of the street. If I break it, I'm potter. So Tosfos answers, Lo Shayach Kan Kol HaMishana Bacha Mishinava Potter. Digabe Adam Lo Omar Hachi. By people, you don't say Kol HaMishana. Perish of Tosfos. By Adam, you don't say Kol HaMishana. There are things in the street. You don't say Kol HaMishana. So how's the Chazon Ish going to explain this Tosfos? So I would think he'll say, all right, Tosfos argues with the Rosh. He doesn't say that. Because the Chazon Ish holds very stark by his Shita of Kol HaMishana. Al Tatzala. I will see his Lashon. We'll see how the Lashon plays itself out. Now, let me just finish. The way the Chazon Ish explains Yenet Tosfos, he says that Tosfos is talking by a type of Kol HaMishana which is avoidable, which could be avoided, which is the Yesh Bei Ketzas Pshia, because the Gemara that have Amina held that Ovid Inish, that's normal for a person to look where he's going, just by the Midrash. So there Tosfos says you don't say Kol HaMishana, but in a case where the second person is Shegeg Lagamri, there's no Pshia at all on the second person, he says Tosfos would agree that you say Kol HaMishana. Tosfos would agree that you say Kol HaMishana Bacha Mishina Bapater. And he says that even in Tosfos, very hard in the Tosfos, you look at Tosfos, Tosfos says Ba'adam Lo Shayachach. And he yells no, that you'll say Kol HaMishana in a case like the Kaira and the Chavis, where the person is totally, he's Mamish and Oinus. Even when someone hits and you hit the person back, I don't call him an Oinus, but he's a Shegeg, he's not a Kosheya. He hits back because he gets angry. That's normal. But the Chazon Ish, Tosfos will be mighty to say Kol HaMishana. This is the Chazon Ish comes out, side like Tosfos, side to Rosh, that we say Kol HaMishana Bacha Mishina. What? Tosfos going to have a meal of the Gemara. According to him, must go on, you have a Petur, a different Petur. Now, the question is how smooth this flows in the Lashon of the Rosh. It's a pshat in the Rosh. How smooth it goes. It goes a little smoother than you would think. Because his Lashon is, Afagad Goloi Shayach Ba'odom Kalam Mishan Rachashin Ba'Potter. Even though it's not Shayach Ba'Potter, still your Potter. Doha, Phil, Aliske Mamem, Amin Ala'el, that there's a din of Hatzalah. He's saying, it's really not Shayach Ba'ach HaMashina. But still, since we find there's a din of Hatzalah, therefore what? He goes on to explain the din of Hatzalah. And the Rosh doesn't come back to finish off his comparison. Because Einish learns, once there's a din of Hatzalah, then it is Shayach, the din of Kol HaMashana by Adam. When somebody does something in an Eifin, now, it could be somebody does something that was not Shayach Hechatim Tzavatzal. If somebody goes, someone's playing ball and they break your window, and you go out and beat them up, There's no kala mishana b'afarishina b'apata. It has to start with a possibility of hatzalah. So you're not going to say kala mishana when a person does something by mistake. But when you do something where it's shayach dehechatins of hatzalah, you hit somebody purposely, that person hits back, then you say kala mishana. That's the Rosh's the way to learn the Lashon HaRosh like him. Rather, the Rosh says, "V'chein emadam roya shemakinus avi v'aybana v'ayachiv v'hika samaka v'del hatzal kroy v'patim." Says it applies also if you see someone hitting someone else, not just stamp someone else face dice, but someone that you feel strongly about. Why does he say only a father or a brother? Or a child, another yid. What? What do you mean? And he says, "V'chein emaraya adam sheYisrael makas chaveray v'yachol lahatzel moshi akas hamaket." So chaveray is loved after him. He's another yid. What? No, because he says he after mutal akas hamaket lafushim yisura. So why does he say father if he's going to say yachol adam? Sounds like by your father there's a heter miruse. Okay, this is the way the Chazon Ish is masked with the sugya, and this is how he's masked with the Rosh. And does he say it clearly? Or he's just explaining the heter? Let's see his lashon. This Lashon HaRosh is also Lashon HaShulchan Aruch in Tufchas Aleph. It says you can only hit him as much as you need Hatzalah. Has that stem with the Chazon Ish says Beferish that it's even more. He says Anafgamina Bein HaTamim, that the Rosh saying that's the reason of Hatzalah, it's this way. But I'll call him a shadow, it would be different. Does it fill well into the Lashon HaRosh? This is about, you say, I'll call him a shana or I'll tell them?
I'll
call him a shana. No, because if someone's a shana, you're allowed to hit him back because you're angry, or you're allowed to back for Atzala.
But
so maybe they're allowed to do it as a different cheshvin because they're helping the person. Not Shiloh, they cut the person's clothing.
When he denies, he's better. But once they come already,
it's a very different case than this. I think it's comparable. No, when we're talking about Hatzalah, you're talking about saving yourself. You're not talking about saving that guy.
But
for Shemisura, you're allowed to do it. Yeah. We're going to come back to Kol HaMishana on Daf Chav Dalel Mitzvahs Mitzvah Hashem. So we'll see. Let's start the new sugya in Nehenes Mishalemes Mashen Nehenes. Alright, the Mishnah said that in a case where you're potter, in a case where you're potter, where what happened, your animal ate Bishus HaRabim. The animal is going down the street and eats Bishus HaRabim, the potter. Nevertheless, the amount that you had hanor, you're chayiv to pay. Even though you're really potter, but the amount of hanor you had, you're chayiv to pay. Just coincidentally, I was looking at a different Indian. I saw Shvus Yaakov on Thursday night, there's a tshuva. If your child, someone's child is mazik, so you all should know by now, if someone goes with his son and with his little baby into the store, and his 3-year-old pulls out the bottom bottle of a whole pyramid of bottles, and they all break, so how much do you have to pay? So you all know how much you have to pay, right? So, no? Your child is mazik. You put to the gamri, right? Even though in America they make you pay, but a cotton is pigiyasera, a cotton is mazik, you don't have to pay. So Shusyakov had a case with a child who walked into someone's house and ate, drank wine, rather, the case was. I don't know how old the child was, but drank wine. And the fellow came to the father with a taina. So the father said, cotton pigiyasera, I don't have to pay. So Shusyakov takapatted him. But he said, you have to pay mashinahenis. Just that Gemara says by a behema, Shusyakov says about a father who I guess is the one who provides muslin for his child. So he says you have to pay mashinahenis. Whatever the hanoah is, you have to pay. The question will be how to shut up the hanoah. So we'll get to it maybe. But it's lav dafka a behema, even an adam. You're responsible for his meal. You have to pay. Okay, so let's see the machlokes in the Gemara. We'll try to understand the tzedakah. Kama. Rabba Omar Demei Omir. What is Omir? So Rashi says Omir is, like Rashi says, is the cheapest animal food. Kash v'teven, straw. Straw and teven. Teven is the stubble. Sure. There are two types of straw. When you cut the field, you take a sickle and you cut off the whole standing wheat. There's a little bit of the wheat still on the bottom, what's called in English stubble. Like when you didn't shave for a while, they call it stubble on your face. The stubble is what sticks up. Kash is the straw. When you take out the kernels of wheat, you're left with the kash. The teven is the small pieces of teven that they gather. There's no nafkamina here. Here, the Rava holds, because the first man Yama is Rava. Rava holds the May Omir. You pay that cheap amount. Even though the animal ate, who knows what, it could even pay his fancy fruits, but you only pay the May Omir. Rava Omar, the May Sa'irim Bizol. You pay the value of Sa'irim, of wheat, of barley, which is a fancy animal food. Bizol. What does Bizol mean, does Rashi say? As she says, you paid the Mesair in Bezul Shnei Shlishei Hadamim, 2/3 of the price. Why 2/3 of the price? Why 2/3? Why not the full price?
You pay for the gain, you pay for nutrients, the better food I'm going to give. So I could have given the cheaper the product.
So since I could have given cheaper, so why don't I pay the value of the cheaper? Let's say cash costs $1 a meal, and let's say sarim costs $6 a meal. So you have to pay $4. Shnei shlish. You can get it for that price, or you can't.
If you get sorry for a cheap price, that's when you would buy that.
You understand it means it's possible to get it cheap.
Yeah.
So, in other words, you pay sorry the cheapest possible price, so it's not 2/3, it's whatever it's possible to get.
It means like lower quality.
Lower quality? So then it's the full share of lower quality. What about the May Omir is also bizul?
No, that means the understood was that the Rav Shad that you pay for the benefit is getting a better food, it's going to be healthier now. I'm getting a benefit from that. So you pay the cheapest of that product I can give. Well, see, Rav Shad is on your page, filling up the animal.
Well, Rav, you pay what you would have given.
So it's going to be unhealthy, it's going to be healthy, it doesn't make a difference. As long as the animal's getting filled up, you're saving it.
So according to Rav, I'm paying, May Sarim Bizul, I'm paying. you're saying I could get the sirim for this price, I get inferior sirim, but it's possible to get it. That's what you're saying. So then demay sirim bezol means something is possible to get. Right? So I don't know why Rashi says 2/3. Rashi should say whatever you got to the marketplace. If you get it for half price, so you get it for half, you'd be half price.
Huh?
So Rashi just means an example. He doesn't mean 2/3. In Baba Basra, it's 2/3. Here, it's whatever you can get it. Here, it's whatever you can get it. What's Rashi's explanation? Dilma iu, those words. Dilma iu le machal asayim. No, but you connect it. Dilma iu le machal asayim ela bezul. In other words, normally you pay the normal going rate. Why here should it be cheaper? Why don't we say the homeless like this baba kama? Every time I damage someone, I should pay bezul. Because this owner of an animal taka shops around for bezul.
When did the tabernacle even never buy it?
Let's say he would never buy it.
Yeah.
Let's say he timed it, I would never pay it. So, so if you're gaining it. Are you gaining the expensive type of siren?
And regarding the animal, it's still not for me. Got my person,
nothing,
I'm just not sure if Bezul means inferior type, or Bezul means he would chop around.
If
it's a Mitzia, he'll do it.
He'll take it for start.
So that's why I would maybe think.
Isn't that all the people? Because in this svara that you're getting the same quality for cheaper, you give it, but from ruins. In other words, like Rav, like, you don't care about how full it is. In fact, you don't pay. It's all based on the svara.
Or the svara that the person would do it for that price.
In other words, you're paying for a gain of a filling up the animal. You're paying up a gain that the animal is now getting a better quality or healthier meal.
You're getting a gain. So that means this gain, people. Let's say people normally, they don't buy fancy things. They don't give their animal the better gain. But if they would get it a bargain, they would give it a better gain. So then you don't need that it's taka available at that price. But it's enough that we have omdina that people would pay that kind of money for it, they would do it. Now if that's true, then that'll give us a little bit of a way to figure out mashinahenis by people. By animals, very little variation in what you give an animal. But let's say my child ate something. I have to pay mashina hennis. So how much do I have to pay? I mean, human beings eat all kinds of different meals. How can you tell me? I don't have to give him lunch. Some days for lunch he eats a cookie, and some days for lunch he eats, he has chicken and something with it. How do you shatz up mashina hennis? If this is the way to shatz up, that will say, if you would get this good food at this cheap price, you would take it. So maybe that's my shenanigans. Okay, let's see. It's a mahalach, which could be the correct mahalach. I'll have to see as we go through the sugya. In the Birchas Avraham, he has a hesber. He discusses what we're discussing. He does it to explain the machlaikis rabba and rava. Try to have a yad in the lumdis of the machlokes Rabba and Rava, what it is really that they're arguing in. Of course, Rabba doesn't need a lot of explanation. Rabba's easy. Rabba just says, whatever you would have gotten away with, that's what you pay. Whatever it's a vadai that you save, that's what you pay. But Rava needs a hesber, what? Rava needs a hesber. What he suggests, really as a yesod in the sugya, is to try to set up a yesod to understand the hammer. Why this bechlal a parsha of paying for hanor, which when we learned the Mishnah I told you I have to come back to. What's the geder that I have to pay because I had a hanor? We're going to have the following in the sugya that we're going to learn. We're going to learn a sugya of Zenehen of Zelech Chasim. We're going to learn a sugya about a person who comes and he goes to sleep in your house. You wake up in the morning and there's someone sleeping on the couch in the living room. And you say, what are you doing here? He says, Zenehen of Zelech Chasim. It's Nidus Adayim. What is Zenehen of Zelech Chasim? You're not losing anything because you don't normally rent out your couch to people. It's your Zelech Chasim. And he's a Zenehenna. What is Zenehenna? What does it mean he has Hanah? The Gemara is going to say that Zenehenna means he's a person who normally, when he comes to this city, he normally pays money to go to a hotel. He pays money, he rents a place to sleep. Then he's called a Nehenna. And now we're going to have a Machlaikis. What's the din? Zenehenna, Zelech Chasim, Yechayev Onav. That's going to be the sugya. But by zeh loy nehena, v'zeh loy chaser, there's no machlaikis. If I have no hana and you have no chasarin, I certainly don't have to pay. But taich zeh loy nehena is, I slept on your couch. I have plenty of hana. Sleeping out in the street is very uncomfortable. But I never pay. I could have gone to my, I have relatives in town. Now she says there are other houses I could have slept in. So I'm called Loi Nehenna. I wouldn't have paid. I would have gone somewhere else to go to sleep. That's called Loi Nehenna. Why is that called Loi Nehenna? I had a lot of hanoah. I was in your house. I slept on your couch. Sure, I could have gone to sleep by my sister's house and she would let me in and I would have just as comfortable a couch. But Lamaisa, right now, if I sleep in your house, is that Zenehenna or Zeloi Nehenna? I would have thought that if someone's sleeping in my house, I come down in the morning, he's sleeping in my couch, I'll tell him it's Zenehenna, Zeloi Chaser. Alright, if you hold Zeloi Chaser, it's Pater, it's Pater. If you hold it's Chayev, it's Chayev. Well, I would think it's Zenehenna. So we're going to have this Chiddush in the next Sugya, that's called Loi Nehenna. That if someone sleeps in my house, and it could be freezing out, then he's warm, he's in my house, he's getting warmed up, and he's sleeping on my bed, that's called Zeloi Nehenna. Why is that called Zeloi Nehenna? He had Hanah. The answer is that the Nehenna of this sugya means a Hanah which can be translated into dollars, into money. A Hanah which has a Shavuos Mammon. That's a Hanah. A Hanah that has no monetary value. And this next sugya is called Loi Nehenna. If it has no monetary value, if it's not something that this person would pay for, that's called Loi Nehenna. Even though he had Hanah, he had benefit. But the Taich Nehenna in this sugya is a Hanah that people would pay for. That's the Taich Nehenna that can answer a number of kashas as we go through the sugya, which is what the Brachos Avraham writes here as an introduction to the sugya. That Nehenna means a Hanah that can be evaluated in a monetary way, in a value of mammon. Something I would never pay for has no value of mammon. So let's say my behema eats sa'irim. And I would never pay Sairim. I don't usually feed it Sairim. I don't have to pay. Even though I had a benefit, animals that eat Sairim are stronger and healthier than animals that eat straw. It doesn't matter. I'm off the hook because I don't pay for Sairim. I never pay for Sairim. It's a Hanah, like sleeping on your couch is a Hanah. But it's a Hanah that it's not worth money to me. Rava says that you pay the Mei Sairim Bezul. Bezul means what you would pay. Now you're going to say, I wouldn't pay. But it means what the normal farmer would pay. If he found Sairim cheap, he would be willing to get that benefit of his animal, that it's healthier, it's stronger, it's fatter, whatever the benefits are, for a Bezul, he would do it. That's the value to him. That's the value. Whatever he would pay for it. Because that's Taich Nehenna. Nehenna is a Hanah Shiesh by Shavuos Mammon. So Rabba holds that we measure Chesaron Mammon. Rabba holds that all we measure is how much money you would have been out had you done it. Yochasar and Mamin that you gave was what you would have fed it straw. Rava says no. You pay Mashinehenis. Taichana is the amount of monetary value that we can place on this thing that the animal ate. The monetary value is not the Mesoirim because you went to Botsar. The monetary value is the Dmei Sa'irim Bezul, the amount you would have paid for it had it been cheaper. And that's Rava's Shita. And the Gemara sees, this we'll see tomorrow, the Gemara shows that it's a Machlaikis Tanoim in the first place. Okay, it's Hashem, we'll pick up on this in the next time.